The scripture I want to read this morning, 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, 3rd chapter. Amen. I want to start reading the first verse. I want to read the first slide for right now. Beginning of the first verse, 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Again, Lord, we would ask, Father, that you would just bring forth of the word. Oh God, that you might accomplish within us this morning what you wish. We commit ourselves completely, Lord, to you, not reserving any part, but just asking, Lord, that you will mold us and make us, that we might be able to hear these words. And Lord, the message, we ask, O Father, that we hear it and apply it to our lives. O God, that we might be pleasing in your sight. Help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. In the last days perilous times. In the last days. The last days started at the beginning of the church age, at the beginning when Jesus Christ came to this earth. That was the beginning of the last days. The first day previous was the Old Testament coming up, bringing up due to the promise of Jesus Christ. When he come on, then we talk about this church age as being the last days. The Bible says that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous times mean difficult times, times that are hard to live, it's hard to live with. And this is not for the world, but it's for the church. It's for you and I. These last days, he told us, is not going to be easy. We're going to have a tough time of it. And if we can't attest this morning to the fact that every day that we live, everything that as our rights are being taken away from us, as God is being denied at every turn, you see, all the way through our government, through everything we look, through advertisements, through television, through anything media that you can talk about, Jesus Christ is taken out. Perilous time. He says in there, and he goes right into it. There's 19, count it. There's 19 items there that he mentions. He starts out, he says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Well, how in the world could you see anything else in this world today than how that peoples in general love themselves? We're here to gimme, gimme, gimmies. We're here for I want, I get, what can I get out of it? We're lovers of self. We don't think of our neighbors. We don't think of other peoples before ourselves. We put us first. Lovers of selves. That's, he says that was the first thing for men shall be lovers of them. Covetous. Covetous. Wow. Yes, coveting everything we see. Everybody wants everything that you see. Yes, give me, give me, give me. We got all this. We got to have this. We got to have boasters. Yeah. Did you ever hear the like of people, especially in this time of politicians hit the road of how they boast of this, that, and the other great. Yes, I'm it. Boy, this, that's all there is to it. Yes, I am the greatest. Yes. Not afraid to stand up and like a peacock and be proud. Yes, yes, most proud people. Yes, I just hit that. We see that every place you look and every place you turn on a TV or whatever it is, it's people who have a lot of pride. Just really proud people. Now, I'm not talking about self-pride to the point that we should have pride in ourselves. Yes, take pride in ourselves. But not previous priority to God. No, we should not. God is first. Blasphemers. Wow. Blasphemers. We talked about this last Sunday in the Sunday.
Wednesday
was. Yes, it was Wednesday night. We talked about the blasphemy, how that people will talk bad about, bad mouth the church, bad mouth each other, bad mouth God, just constantly condemning, knocking all this because of ignorance. They do not know. Disobedient to parents. Who? Man. Probably, if there's any one thing that's in there that is as bad as all the rest, the disobedience to parents is probably one of the biggest faults in our country today, where children are being raised that they rule the roost. No longer does parents tell children what to do. Children tell parents what they're going to do. And the parents stand back and listen. Mealy mouthed and, how come I want them to have more than I had when I was young? Yeah, that's the cop-out. I want my children to have more. Yes, give them everything you can. Just pour the money right out to them and you'll kill them. Yes. This thing of disobedience to parents. There's nothing ticks me off worse. There's nothing ticks me off worse than having to watch a parent tell a child what to do, don't you do that, and watch them do it. Yeah, don't you do that, and just stand there and watch them go right ahead and do it. Boy, I can remember back when I was a lad, and when if my dad would have told me, or my mother would have told me, don't you do that, and I walked right straight ahead and done it, that'd have been fertilized, and it'd have been my fur. Yes. How many times has my mom told me, since we lived close to the creek behind the house there, had a little bridge across the creek, and had a cellar there, in the hill, you know, and really, really nice. But over there by that cellar, there was a water beach. Now, some call it another name for it, but I call them a water beach. But it was a tree that grew up near the water, and man, it had big, long branches on it, you know. They were just right. Mama said, cross the bridge, bring me back a switch. And don't you bring a little one. But if you bring a little one, you're going back again. So she makes no problem. Get there, cut that switch and bring it back. You know what was coming. You know what was coming. Man, she would make me dance. Woo! I can still feel them things going around my butt. Yeah, she'd really lay it on me, you know. So when Mom said, don't do that, that's exactly what she meant. Don't do that. And if you did do it, you can figure on, whew! Yes, I still feel anything to crack and I thank God for it. Thank her. Yes. Disobedience to parents. Unthankful. You look at this age we live in today when there's so much giveaway programs, when those who won't work, don't work, can get everything for nothing. They can have more than you and I can. And who do they think? No, they're constantly complaining because they don't get more. Yet, looking for another way to get in there to take advantage of you and I. Yes. Unthankful. Unthankful for what they've got. Even sometimes Christians, even sometimes we as Christians are unthankful for the privilege of being here in this service this morning. Sometimes we just take it for granted and take it for, well, yeah, we will, yeah, I don't care. It's a toss-up sometimes as whether we will do what we come out and worship God or we do, are we sleeping? Sometimes it's a toss-up. It's that way because we're unthankful for the privilege that we do have and for the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made that we could have this privilege. We should be, every morning when we get up out of bed, we should, before we even hit the floor, we should say, thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to give me today. For the privilege of being yours, knowing. Yeah. Of thankfulness. There's so much unthankful, unholy. Boy, it's hard to find a holy place anymore. The churches, yes, most churches you'll find are holy. Some are not. Some have went worldly. Unholy in businesses, it's hard to find. Some there is out there, yes, but it's hard to find. At one time, probably the businesses were founded by those that the grandfathers going back to had started those businesses, had based their business on holiness, being honest, being God's people, treating people as you would have them. But today, take all you can get. Yes, they'll use every trick in the book to get every penny they can from you and I. Unholy, yes. It doesn't make any difference. And if somebody is in bad shape, needs something, it takes an act of Congress to get it. When actually, when somebody has a need, they should be the first. Those who have it should be the first to see to it that these people are taken care of. Unholy? Without, I shouldn't say this, should I? Without natural affection. What is natural affection? What is natural affection? Well, you're all thinking right now, man. What? You're thinking like, well, yeah, it's nature. Take part. Not necessarily. Natural affection could be my natural affection toward the Almighty God. Comes as natural as anything good. You know, do you have to teach an animal? Do you have to teach wild animals how to be affectionate one to the other? Or to take care of their little ones when they're born? Or the little birds that builds the nest up in the tree and they lay the eggs and the little birdies come in there. Don't let anything try to take them over. They'll fight you. They have natural affection for their little ones. We have natural affection one towards the other. We have respect one for the other. When you were young, can't remember that for a fact. We had affections. You probably, in school or something, you might have had an eye for somebody. Huh? Remember that? Can you remember that for a fact? When maybe, well, you there and, ooh, there's that good-looking boy. Ooh, I'd like to know him, you know. And then there's that little blonde-haired girl comes by and says, yeah, ooh, yeah, she's pretty. So we have an affection. Once again, and let me tell you what, it wasn't man for man. And it wasn't woman for woman. It wasn't a desire for men to live with men. It was not a desire for homosexuality in this country. It was not. That is not God's plan. If you think it is, read the first chapter of Romans. And you'll find in there that it is condemned. It's a no-no. God says no to men with men, women with women. He says no. He doesn't say it's another lifestyle. It sure is. It's a devil's lifestyle, and it's headed for the altar. It is hell to burn in the lake of fire forever and ever, where the worm will not die and the fire will not be quenched. Yes, that's exactly what he's talking about. Unnatural affection. Call it what you want. And as you can see, the way our country is going now, we're leaning towards making this acceptable everywhere. Even in the pulpits of churches. Now, can you imagine you having a pastor up here in this church that, you look at this way, if you noted, when you hired him, you're in trouble. And if you found out that he was that way after you had him, throw him out. Don't ask him to leave. Open the door and physically pitch him out in the road. Yes. There's too much yielding by Christians, by the peoples of God. They're turning their backs upon this. He said it would be that way. Yes. Unnatural affection. Truce breakers. There was a time when man's handshake was it. In the Bible, I think, didn't they take off a shoe or something? Sandal there. Yeah, to make it. But when they made a deal, when they made a commitment one to the other, that was it. It was final, and they would rather die than break that truce with anybody. They would rather, yes. Today, you can have a handshake. It means if his hand was dirty, now yours is. Means very little to anybody. Means very little to a lot of people. Still, yeah, to God's people, it is a commitment. We commit our lives to Christ when we bowed at the altar. If you remember, probably, when your first contact with Jesus Christ, when you bowed the first time, you was in trouble. You was hurting. You knew you were living the way you shouldn't be. You was living in sin. You knew it. You was hurting with inside. You needed comfort. And we asked God to come into our lives and to give us a peace. Forgive me, Lord, for the sins that I have committed. Forgive me, Father, for all those wrong things that I have done. He held his end of the bargain. He said, you say to him, Lord, if you'll do this, I'll live for you. I'll be yours. Anything you want me to be, I'll be. Am I right? Am I right? Is that basically what we committed to Jesus Christ?
Yes.
But then what happened? Well, he kept his end of the bargain. He forgave you. Those sins are gone. By the way, yes, I found that scripture that we looked for Wednesday night about the sea. Their sins are cast into the sea as far as the east is from the west. Yes, Psalms 103. Okay. Very something. But, yes, he kept his end of the bargain, but what do we do? The first thing that he asks us to do, oh, I can't do that. No, I can't do that. Let somebody else do that. Or, you know, sing, I can't sing in that choir. I can't do this. I can't, no. Lord, let somebody else do that. First thing we do is start backing down. Yes, it don't take us long. Yeah, we're on fire for a few days, for a week maybe or something like that. But then the first thing comes along that entices us. I'm going to try that a little. Yep. Here's breakfast. Yep. Truth breakers. False accusers.
Oh boy, oh boy.
False accusers. We wouldn't be guilty of that, would we? You ain't gonna believe this, but you're right, I ain't gonna believe this, so don't. You hear it every day. You hear somebody picking on somebody else. You hear somebody talking about somebody. What they did, this, that, and that. Yeah. False accuser. We would judge a person before we know the facts. If someone were to come to you and say, hey, I seen your preacher doing this or that and the other thing, the first thing you would do would be hop all over him. You know, you wouldn't come to the preacher and say, is this true? What I heard about you. No, you get on the phone. Did you hear what I did? Yes. Did you hear that? We're so quick to judge other people that we accuse. You know, I've got an awful bad habit. Just one. I don't know where any of the rest of you got this habit or not, but every time that I go about to do something and all my stuff is in such neat order, you know, everything I got here, oh boy, it's just as neat as you please, it's just everywhere. Like yourself talking. But when you go to pick up something in your house and it isn't where you thought it was, first thing you do is, I wonder what she done with it. Oh, where did she put it? Or why did he, what business did he have? Am I right? The first thing we do is think somebody else is the problem. Or, that door's open. Why did he leave that door open? But when you get around to it and you find that thing that you have been looking for, oh, I remember now putting it there. I remember that now. Or, oh yeah, I went out that door and didn't come back in. I came back in the other way. Huh? Yeah. We are very, very quick to accuse somebody else of things that we do. The wrongs that we do, yes. The things in our church that happen that shouldn't happen. We're very quick to accuse this one or that one or the other one, when if you trace it back, we ourselves are probably the guilty one. Ooh, that's hard to swallow. But usually when we have a problem in the church, we can find out that it was as much my fault as anybody else's. Yes. False accuser. We had a bunch of them, didn't we? Any incontinent. You know what that is? Lack of self-control. Lack of self-control. When we cannot control ourselves, as I told you a while ago, when things go wrong with your work and you blow up and you say things that you shouldn't, incontinent. Yes, that's me. Guilty, you see? Yeah, it isn't funny. Because like Peggy said, it's the repenting that hurts. It's the knowing that you failed that really hurts. And that is where we come, where we cannot control ourselves. It's when you give your life to Jesus Christ, everybody thinks that it's going to be just fine. It's a better road. You won't have any trouble anymore. You're on the right track. You're doing great and everything. Don't kid yourself for 1 minute. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's when the trouble starts. Because old Satan's going to hit you with everything that he can. We have the power to overcome that. We have the power to control this self. We have that power if we'll use it. But too often, I don't know about you, but when you start to get angry, when things don't go good, when somebody rubs you the wrong way, when you're in that position that you know, you can feel it coming. You know that, hey, I'm getting hot. Now, when your ears start burning or what, I don't know how it works, but anyhow, you start building up. You feel it just kind of getting next to you. And you know that it's a coming. If we would use the power that God gives us to overcome this, to control this ourselves, then we would say, back off. Go take a walk. Go sit down. Do this. Get away from this. Turn your back on for a little bit, but no. We'll burn. Just keep right on bashing through as hard as we can. Determine, yes, I'll do it or die. Yes. But we don't control ourselves. If we would, it'd be a lot different. Come. Fierce. I don't know whether I read in the Bible where there were so many peoples that were destroyed. They had wars. They destroyed whole villages and towns, and there wasn't a soul come out of it alive. It makes you wonder, how could people be so mean to each other just to wipe them out? And I don't understand that, but one day I will understand it, how God would allow that to happen, because he said do it. Now, I don't understand that. And that's yet to be, he'll tell me one day. But I can't understand this thing of people going out here on the streets and picking up little kids and mutilating them or doing this or that and the other thing. The fierceness that's in this world, how people can treat one another like that with just fierce. It doesn't make sense. I read in on the internet, there, of course, the internet that, take it or leave it. A woman, a young girl, stabbed another girl 320 times. 320 times. How can anybody be so fierce? How can people mutilate and kill each other that you hear it every day around, even in our own area? Because Satan is building up within people that he controls them to a point that he said, do it, and they do it. Yes, it's terrible, fear. I don't understand it. Despisers of those that are good. Yes, you try to do good. You work in your church, you take care of the needy, you pray for those that are sick as we do. And I'll guarantee you one thing. Somebody's out there going to condemn us for it. Yep. They're going to look on it and say, them silly people. They're going to condemn you. They're going to say, yeah, I hate it. Because the power that we have in Jesus Christ is placing conviction upon them. They retaliate by despising those who do good. Traitors? Wow. Yeah. Making promises and turning, keeping, not keeping your word. Going against your friends. Disobeying. Church members condemning other church members. Eddie? Yeah. I know I'm right. I don't care what you say. I know I'm right. And you ain't going to convince me any different. Eddie, you think you know it all, but you don't. You find out pretty soon, well, I'm dumber than a sled track. Yep, Eddie. High-minded, same. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That would go along with the disobedient to parents as one of the greatest sins. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. How many dollars are spent for entertainment? Could you put a figure on it? Clear out of reason. Clear out of sight. How much money is spent on entertainment? Lovers of pleasure. Yes, it does you good, and the Bible accepts. Getting away, getting out, yes. Take your rest, get out and enjoy. Yes, it tells us that in the scripture. I can't tell where exactly where that is there. And God knows we need to get away once in a while. We need to go out and just do nothing, we might say. But entertainment. What is entertainment? It makes us happy, it makes us joyful for a little bit, then it's gone. Entertainment. It's us reading there, one of the commentators that I was reading on, he said, he loves sports. He loves football. Yeah. Played football when he was in college and loved it. But now, to sit in a stadium with 85,000 other people, to watch 11 people make millions and millions of dollars out there on the field, he says, that's not entertainment to me. He said, I'd rather be out there on the field. Now, we count entertainment as probably as something that makes us feel good for a little while. Ooh. Is that right? Would that be a pretty good explanation of entertainment, or would it not? Can you give me a better one?
Just getting away from your troubles.
Yep. But to entertain you, it has to make you feel better, you know? Mm-hmm. So it makes you feel better for a little while. What is all this that we see today that's coming into our churches that are coming up with making you feel better for a little while, when you walk out the door, it's gone. You remember, well, boy, I really enjoyed that. And you tell me, oh, I really enjoyed that. But right now, you feel no better for it. But when we go to the basics, when we go back to Jesus Christ, it is not entertainment. It doesn't make us feel better for a little while. It gives us a change of attitude to a point that will make you feel better forever,
amen,
even into eternal life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It seems as though that all of our practically a whole life, everything we look at anymore is based upon entertainment, making you feel good or whatever. And it irks me. Is that a word, hurt? And it irks me to see how the colleges today, you mention any college if you want to. You say WVU, what do you think about?
Alcohol.
Party. Somebody?
Football.
Yeah. Anybody?
Big time sports.
Ah, there we go. There's that big time sport, that thing that really, really, that everybody, and you see all these cars. Go out here and you hardly see any car anymore that doesn't have WVU on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not mine. But you see this, and what does it mean? It does not mean the education that them kids is getting down there to school, that they can come out of there, that they can open up a heart and go in there and repair it. It doesn't tell you that. It doesn't tell you about all the things that they have discovered in the earth, the things they can do that come out of this earth that they can use to make our lives better. It doesn't tell you that. It tells you about going down on the field and knocking heads with somebody for a couple of hours and coming out there and saying, We won! What did we win? We didn't win anything. Because after you leave that stadium, you can brag about it for a little while if you want to. That's another one of them there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You can brag about winning a little bit, but it doesn't help you one bit. Very few of your commercials, very few of your WB signs or any other college as far as that's concerned, will tell you of the goodness that they are doing. It doesn't tell you in there that they promote Jesus Christ in that college, that they don't tell you in there that God is our leader in our college. They don't, because they've taken him out and put a football game instead. Yeah. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying their power thereof, from such turn away. That's church members, my friend. That's those who attend church every Sunday morning, who go to the end and take their seat in the pews and say, I am a Christian, but denying the power thereof, knowing that if I were to ask for something in my prayer, that I can expect it to happen. No. We don't. We doubt. Yes. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Friend, there is no greater power in the world today than the power of the Almighty God. There is no power that even can compare to it. Satan is second. The power he has is second place, and it's so close. It can be sometimes in our lives, it can be a toss-up which way we go. But I'll guarantee you one thing, the power of God is greater. He can put down Satan. Satan cannot put down God. Satan cannot. Anytime he enters within the walls of this church and would love to disrupt us, would love to put down God, he cannot do it. Because we have the power, the almighty power of God to say, get thee out, Satan, and he's got to go. He has no choice. Amen? Amen. He's got to go. Denying the power thereof. There's so many organizations today, Christian organizations, that have a form of godliness, but deny the power that really God does give us. So what's the answer? All of these things that I've read to you, each and every one, there are 19 of them there. Every one of them is a sin. Every one of them are sin. Now you say, well, there's things we ought not to do. If they're not, we ought not to do it, then they're sin. But I went on down there and I read a little bit further down, the same chapter, from the 12th to the 15th verse. You might look at that. Yea, and all that we, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Yes, he tells us there it's not going to get any better. He said that you that live godly lives, you have committed your life to Jesus Christ, you're going to suffer persecution. This is his promise. You're going to suffer persecution. And the evil men, the seducers, will wax worse and worse. Is that encouraging to know that the evil peoples are going to get worse and worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived? Is that encouraging? Only to the point that we know that the time is at hand. It is very near. The more we see this, we know that the closer it will be. And boy, from the looks of things out there today, it must be just right up on us now. But he gives us the answer in the 14th verse. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Yes, from the time, most of us, from the time we were little, we were taught of the things of Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus loves me. The little songs, all those little things that we learned back when, you can remember that far back, I think, when you were just little in the early classes in Sunday school, and the little things you learned, and they seemed to, well, I don't know, but they stick with you. Those little rhymes that they sang, those little stories that you learned in the lower classes, like they're learning downstairs, where they learned of David knocking down a giant with a stone. You don't forget things like that. That's God's implanting within us. And he tells us there to remember these things. As we grow on, we gain in understanding and in wisdom, we find that the little things that we learn back there are just the beginning as we grow from day to day. And probably even this day, you will find that God is reassuring you that he is there. He is in control. He will show you these things. Know this from the beginning. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith. We've heard the message. We've heard of these 19 things that God says in which man is very, very fast going. You wonder why. Did you ever wonder why that the churches today that the pews are empty. It's not only our church. It's every church. The only ones, really, today that are really prospering, that are really going great guns, are those that are offering the entertainment. Yes, you can offer entertainment. You can bring in big names and what have you, and you will draw a crowd. But I do believe that we're so close to the last days. We're so close to the coming of Christ that He is weeding out, separating the sheep from the goats. That He is, those that are finding it easier to leave the church and go out into the world and to do those things that are worldly, to live in sin for the gain that they can have here for just a little while. God is weeding them out. Folks, you are very fortunate. You are very fortunate to be one of the blessed of God. You are very fortunate to be sitting in that pew that you're sitting this morning, hearing the Word of God. Yes? As I told you before, I'm not worthy to be standing here doing what I'm doing. I know that. If I was to judge myself, I'd be dead. That's what I deserve. But we have an Almighty God that looks on the situation, and He says, I can take that mean little nasty feller, and I'm going to allow him to bring a message that he wants to this church. Now, when that little fellow stands up and he preaches that word, or he tells you the thing that the God has told him that you need to hear, he's done. He gave his message. That's it. He's finished. Now it's up to you. Do with that what you will. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We praise you, Lord, for just allowing us, oh God, just to study your word, Lord, and to listen, oh Father, to what you have for us. And we ask, oh God, through the hearing of the word, Lord, that we be hearers, not hearers only, but doers as well. Lord, that we now listen and we act. We do, Father, what you're telling us to do. And we're not saying, Lord, leave that to the preacher, or let somebody else do it, but that you take the responsibility of to do what God would have you to do. Lead us, O Father, guide us, help us. We ask you, Lord, just to touch us each one now.